This is How Men Think with Brooks Like and Gavin DeGraw, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Here we go. So excited to finally get this podcast going. My name is Brooks Like. I am one of your co-hosts along with my man to my left.
It's Gavin DeGraw. Good to see you, man.
There he is, my dude. Good to see you, too. And we have a couple other gentlemen here at the table as well that I quickly want to introduce. We have Dimitri, we have Rick, and we have Ryan. And we'll get to these good sirs in a second. I want to start with you, my friend. You just got off the plane. For the people in our community, Mr. Gavin DeGraw, that do not know who you are, can you please give us a little bit about yourself and what you're excited for this podcast?
Oh, man. Boy. My favorite topic. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Me.
Yeah. Or do you want me to brag about you?
I sing and write songs and stuffs. And you probably know me since you're a hockey man for falling on the ice during a national anthem quite recently. So
ice is slippery, buddy.
It's slick. Yeah. It is. I wore the wrong shoes.
Yeah.
And let me just blame it at that. And that's it, man. It's good to be here. I hopped on one of those great flights today where it feels like you're riding a public bus, you know?
No Greyhound. Awesome.
There was somebody heavy breathing on my neck because they were reading the directions of if the plane were to go down, like, I can save somebody. She was looking across me and like just heavy breathing in my ear, and I was like, I could get out of your way right now. She's like, no, not necessarily. I was like, no, really, I can get out anyway.
So you're coming
it's
in happy.
Be here.
You're coming in happy.
It's great. Yeah. It's great to be here.
That's exciting, man. Yes. That is
been looking forward to it.
Yeah.
By the way, thanks for following me on Instagram, man. Because
we just
I've been liking your pictures for quite some time now.
Have you?
Yeah, man. I sent I probably like 2-3 of your pictures because you exercise a lot. I was like, I can use some of those techniques right there.
Vacation pictures or his exercise workouts?
Yeah.
Pictures of his wife, actually.
Yeah. But my wife, I will say that. So you've been on Dancing with the Stars. My wife raved about you. She was so excited.
Thank you.
And she says to say
she's
hi.
Awesome.
And everybody in my community that I know that knows you, and Dimitri echoed this too. He said everybody that he knows that knows you raves about you.
To a disgusting degree. Like, Gavin DeGraw, and they're like, oh my God, he's the nicest guy. He's all right, well, there's other nice people.
Well,
like,
allow me to ruin their image of me to you. So
I've not met anyone who likes you, so it
perfect.
Out.
Yeah, me either.
Okay, let's leave to that. We'll go to Ryan here next. So we'll go to Ryan. I'm going to run down a little bio of Ryan. Born in Memphis, Tennessee, raised in Philly, is a longtime suffering Philly sports fan. Yeah. Okay, we'll get to that. TV executive, writer, political consultant. He's got an 18-month-old boy. He's got another one on the way, so he's in it. His mom and dad were both FBI agents. He played soccer in college, and he is self-described as handsome, humble, and ironic. Is that good enough?
If it's self-described, I don't see where the humble comes in, but sure.
That's the irony.
Yeah, that's the irony.
Oh, all right.
By the way, we have a bone to pick because on the way here, Brooks told me that the worst fan base he ever faced while in the NHL was the Philly fans.
You asked me which were the rudest ones.
And I wear that as a badge of honor.
Yeah, I mean, I can't call somebody polite when I'm walking into the arena. I get spit on by 30 people from up above in the walkway. So
that could have been Ryan.
Yeah, it could have been. But can you give us? Can you give everybody listening like something you're super excited about to be on this podcast?
I'm super excited because I think what's really interesting to me is that we all have our unique perspectives. We all are at a different stage in our lives. You know, you're married. Kids probably soon. I have one kid, a second along on the way. Dimitri has 12 kids, I think.
And Rick we'll get
has
to that.
Two, and Gavin is perpetually scared of commitment whatsoever. So it's a good blend.
Bro.
You can't box him in
just
like
met.
That.
That's your badge. That's your badge of honor.
Yeah, thanks.
But that's exciting. We're happy to have you. Okay, well, we'll lead to going teeing up Dimitri here. He doesn't have 12, but he has 4 kids.
I do, yes.
He's a writer and a comedy consultant, avid sports fan, comes from a big Greek family, owns a Mandarin orange farm, the most random stat in the world. And is
who doesn't love a good halo?
And also is described as extremely handsome. You have a very handsome panel.
Well, yeah. My mom said that when I was young, so I figured it's good for life. So I'm sticking with it.
Buddy. Yeah.
So I have 4 kids, 10, 8, 6, and almost 3. And I think, it's funny. As Ryan was saying, I think we all bring something different to the table, which I'm excited about. I will mention that, obviously, Brooks, you're married. Ryan's married, almost two kids. Rick's married, two kids. I have four kids. I'm married. And Gavin walks in the room. He goes, so wait, everybody here is married? So I think we know his stance on marriage. So
that's not necessarily true. I just was like, wow. So I'm the only not married person in the room. It's a little weird. I thought
we'll get to that.
I have a teammate, somebody who was in the same boat as me.
You looked
at us all like, what were you guys thinking?
Hey, you guys looked at each other like, what were we thinking? This guy's single. Look at the smile on his face.
Yeah. Well, I think the good news is that we're here to help you out.
There he is. Okay, let's go to you, Rick.
We're your kind of guiding light.
This is not a podcast. It's an intervention.
Thanks, guys. Meanwhile, elevator to hell going down.
What if he turns it the other way and all of a sudden he's like, we're like, yeah, why are we married? And now we're all five single guys.
Well, let's go to the guiding light, Rick. Rick, two kids. He's a 13-year-old, a 10-year-old. He's a coach, technology lifecycle solutions, IT management, SoCal, living in NorCal. Just joined Netflix, and I agree with this one, man. Plays the toughest sport in the world, water polo. I agree with that 100%.
Well, thank you very much. That's very polite coming from a hockey player.
Yeah, but so. I swam this morning. I swim on Thursdays, part of my workout. Swimming is the hardest thing in the world to me.
Yeah, no, it's fun and it's good to get out there. And it's I think overall, you know, and part of this whole, you know, how men think is talking about exercise and health and wellness and you know, using swimming as part of an exercise to get an over, like a all body, you know, movement. So
I get routinely crushed in the pool by like middle-aged women. They just go down and back. This swear to God, true story. They go down and back, down and back. I'll go down and back, down and back. And I'm like just huffing and puffing. They just keep going. Swimming is an art, man. So I do.
Yeah,
I do. I tip my cap to you. Anybody that plays water polo is an intense athlete. So I tip my cap to you.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
What's one thing you're super excited for to be on the podcast?
You know, honestly, it's just to talk about all of the aspects that we're going to go over today and kind of help, you know, Gavin out and when in his in
his, yeah. That's what's going on around
just
here.
Just a little
Uncle
bit
Rick
of
here. We got Uncle Rick here for you, Gavin.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
I'm going to be a grandpa when it's over, don't worry. But just to kind of, you know, talk about certain things and that's what I'm looking forward to, you know, sharing our experiences.
Awesome. Love it.
Can I ask a quick question? When you said you just joined Netflix, do you mean like working or like you just signed up for Netflix like 20 years after everybody else?
No, although, you know, I just signed up about 3 weeks ago.
Okay.
Yeah, I have a login and a password and, you know, I'm actually watching a show every once in a while and it's pretty interesting.
First show you watched, what is it?
Murder Mountain.
Okay.
Was that on a recommendation or were you just like...
No, I'd heard it only from a friend. Only...
From a friend, there's a picture. Well, we're going to have some fun on this show, guys. My name is Brooks Like, and I was a professional hockey player, played in the NHL for 13, 14 years, live in Los Angeles. And I'm married, have three dogs, hopefully have kids here someday soon. Don't have any on the way, but definitely want kids and look up to you gentlemen for being fathers. But I'm super excited about this podcast. Since I've been out of the sport, I feel like I have a lot to say. I really want to make an impact in the world. I think I've learned a lot of lessons through sport, through high-pressure environments, through team, which is why I love doing this podcast with other people as well, and really be of service to our listeners, to you guys that are listening, whether it's in your car, at home, whatever it is. We are really a vessel to serve you guys, so I want you to... engage with us, interact with us. We have an email, men@iHeartRadio. If you want to comment or send questions or feedback, insight on the show, please do that. But with that said, we will now get into what this show is going to be, what it's about, how men think. Gentlemen, take it away. Oh, okay, there it is.
Wait a second.
Oh, we couldn't have done that any better. So not a lot going upstairs. Yeah. Is that the first thing?
Did you say when men think?
Yeah. Well, here's our promise to our listeners is we're going to dive into many issues that men deal with. Lifestyle, health, fitness, relationship, career, opportunity, fears, a little bit of vulnerability. We're not going to sit here and cry, but we're going to dig into some emotions. We're gonna try and
promise it's not gonna be tears.
Who do you think cries first?
Gavin.
Oh, I'm a crier.
Yeah. Are you, buddy?
Oh yeah. I'm about ready to bust loose right now on this guy's shoulder I just met. I'm about to wet your t-shirt for you.
Rock stars, they're all the same.
I get so emotional in a room full of dudes.
But for everybody listening, for guys that are listening, we want to provide value to you. We're also going to have some funny stories, there's going to be a lot of laughter, that's for certain. But we want to provide value to you and be a value add to your life and hopefully give you some insight to some things maybe you're dealing with or some things you might be dealing with upcoming in your life that maybe some of these guys have been through. And then on the flip side, for our female listeners, fire away. What do you want to know? That we will be an open book and open source for you guys. What do you want to know? How men think, what we think about our thought process behind things, how we approach relationship, life, career, anything like that. We've already had some fascinating discussions. I also want to send a thank you before we really get into it. Miss Amy Sugarman right here for putting this whole thing together.
Sugarman in the house.
Yeah. A round of applause. This is Amy's concept. This is her baby that we're only here because of you. So sincere thank you
and
for that.
Right. The truth is she really wants to know what men think. So she's like, this is the easiest way to find out.
That is the truth. I think so far getting to know her, I think that is the truth. Also want to thank Danielle right here for her help, our producer.
Yeah.
And Easton, our engineer.
Easton.
Yeah. Oh, there's a good flex. You guys can't see it.
That was amazing.
He's got 20-inch biceps, yeah. Easton does. But let's dig into it. How men think. We're going to dig into many different issues in how men think on this podcast. There's going to be a variety of them. But Rick, why don't you give us one, my friend? What is going on in your life?
Yeah, well, you know, my son just turned 13 last week, so that was a blessing.
Interesting,
you know, that was
age.
Exciting, yeah. And you know, as part of that, obviously, 13 is kind of when they start hitting puberty, and you know, he is definitely starting to cross that line a little bit. And you know, as being a parent, and I sort of backed off of it for a while. He had his own cell phone. You know, I used to check his cell phone occasionally, and I was like, he wasn't being very nice, you know, to me. So I was like, okay, he's going to go to bed, and I'll check his cell phone. So check his cell phone, start going through it, just making sure. The reason I'm checking his cell phone, making sure his communication to his friends or girls and guys is proper and nice and whatnot. And so, in doing so, I go through and I check out his web browser. So I pull up his web browser. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to actually search this. I'm going to look what he's looking at. And I pull it up. And
dirt
the
bike
first
videos. Dirt bikes? Gaming.
Well, it used to be like, you know, basketball videos, old basketball videos, baseball videos, comebacks game of the year. Those were the headlines back when he was 10, 11, 12. Well, now I pull it up and it's where he needs to go to his baseball practice. Good. And then it's things that I don't necessarily, well, shouldn't say I can't agree with it, but not really appropriate for a 13-year-old.
Give us the heavy. What is it?
Yeah. Straight porn.
Okay.
Videos.
So it was like not quite the sports you were looking
it
for.
It was
like
not
basketball
sports
size
videos.
Boobs.
Yeah, top 10, you know, highlights of.
So you were sad that it was on his phone, but thrilled that you found it.
Yeah. I was thinking to myself, I mean, yes.
I have not seen these before.
I was like, wow, this is an amazing collection.
Oh, he subscribes to the same
and
site.
And I was like, wow, is that my login? Is that my username and login?
We could get a discount.
Totally.
Hey, you're on the same iCloud account, and it brings up his.
So the first two had, you know, our Google searches for where he needs to go to baseball practice, which we clearly take him because he can't drive.
And that's real. That's not a metaphor. That's a real baseball practice. Okay.
So we're taking this kid over the pole
the
right
now. The next one is hot blonde MILF made to suck dick.
Oh man,
cutie gets her tiny hole hammered.
Well, okay, I don't
know.
So, you know, as his father, I'm sort of given a couple of fist pumps, you know. I'm like, yeah, this is killer, kind of like your flow here, bro. You know, so
it sounds to me like you would have preferred he dipped his toe in the water instead of just cannonballing into porn.
Very much
these
so.
Don't sound very like starter level or
no, this is not the 1985 Playboy that I used to find at my friend's house. Yeah. So
how do you handle that? Do you have you talked to your boy about this?
We have talked already, yes.
Well, so what was the conversation?
The conversation delayed a couple of weeks, so it was like, you know, I was trying to figure out what to act, you know, what to,
because you had to watch everything
to
first.
Because like my thought was, you're not in trouble. Like, okay, you're gonna find it no matter what, whether it's on your phone, your friends, wherever, the home computer, my login. Yeah. Was more along the lines of when I approached him, my wife and I both sat him down, and he was kind of being a dick at the time, and we were like, look, we need to talk. Like, you're using your phone for certain things, and here's what they are, you know, and I didn't go back and tell them that.
And we don't have that much data on your plan.
That's a huge download right there.
Son, I would go, instead of 8 videos, I would narrow it down to 5, yes.
Can I ask you, what was your wife's reaction to this?
Oh, my gosh. You know, she was surprised. She was wondering what was going on.
Was she like, oh, my gosh, I failed as a mom, or this is your fault, or what he's...
No, we didn't really look at each other that way, Dimitri. It was more along the lines of, like, how are we going to have this conversation? You know,
and is the onus on you as the father, because it's your son, that you're to be the one to have that conversation, like birds and the bees style?
Yeah, I sort of felt that way, and we haven't had that conversation yet either, and so obviously that's next, but I'm trying to plan a fishing trip around that.
Although from the titles
sure
of these,
that's
necessary. From the titles of these are way beyond birds and the bees.
Okay, here's a quick question. Have any of you guys had that conversation with your dad or parents at all? I never had that conversation.
I never had it.
Yeah, so the conversation I had with my son would basically set him down, and, you know, it's not how did you find this, you're being punished. It's more along the lines of, like, what you're watching isn't necessarily age appropriate for what your age right now. Yeah. You know, I mean, there's a reason movies are rated R. They're NC-17 or G or whatever you want to call it. But, you know, it was more along the lines of, look, you're not mentally ready there from what you found. Like, maybe he should have subscribed to Playboy. But
you did mention the word hammered. Do you think maybe he was just trying to look up a construction site of some kind? Maybe there's some carpentry skills?
Like, dad goes to Home Depot a lot. Let me see what this is about.
The interesting part about that the name of his baseball team is called Head First Baseball. Hmm. So maybe he was searching head first and then everything else.
And he stumbled into it.
No. He's 13. He's a boy.
Yeah. As his lawyer, nice cover up, but that's not going to work.
Yeah, no. It was more about the along the lines of, like, look, be careful what you're watching. You know, what you are watching, obviously it's great for us, but maybe not appropriate for them.
Yeah. There is something that I read recently that said boys that age, boys especially that age, are getting – they target them with porn. And they try and get them hooked because it's the way to really influence, like to bring in the money of the industry and enhance the industry. And what it's doing, yes, yep. Exactly. And what it's doing is it's ruining that, because then they are, to some extent, they're never learning the sight of, like, romance or this and that. So when they start hooking up, they just think, oh my, it's got to jump to this point. And it's not, obviously, I mean, I have 3 daughters. It's not the way to go about romance. Is not the way to go about dating, and it's not to think that, oh my god, it's supposed to jump to this, otherwise it's a failure, otherwise. So they say that it's causing a big problem with kids.
Well, that makes total sense, complete sense. I mean, just listen to those titles, the fact that the kid even knows what MILF means. I mean he's a little kid.
I mean, he's seen American Pie. Who hasn't seen American Pie?
Yeah, right.
Does anybody else have anything like that going on? Your kids are too young. Your kids are obviously too young, but what else? What about?
No, but that's horrifying. I mean, it's a fear of mine. You know, I have a 2-year-old son and another on the way, a boy. And so the thought of how far will technology advance between now and when he is of the age that he's going to be looking at porn or. Yeah.
I have a question. I mean, I don't understand why the technology certainly seems to be there for fingerprint identity, for accessing the phone. You'd think that it would be a necessary technology for kids having their own personal phones that could access the internet, that it would require a fingerprint, and therefore it would automatically limit some of their view.
I think there is that technology.
I mean, it would be identify the fact that they are a child.
Rick is irresponsible as a father.
You know what I'm saying?
It was my phone.
He's saying there is that feature on phones where if it's a family plan, the parent can put in locks of what the kids can see. Ryan's saying that Rick has just failed to do that.
I'm just saying we all have our identities in our fingerprint, and therefore he's probably already documented his fingerprint at some point. Why doesn't it automatically limit his access to the internet?
Yeah, you can go in and you can limit all the access.
So why did you choose
not
to do that?
But why is it not automatically limiting his access?
Because at the beginning of it, I decided not to do it because I want him to go watch Steph Curry's highlights, you know, over the last 3 seasons. Or, like, he was watching things that weren't necessarily at that point yet, right? So it's like, obviously, glad we caught it, right? Or whatever. I mean, again, like, to be honest, also, to me, it's actually opened up a conversation with him about that,
yeah.
right? You know, so it's not a forced subject. It's not a birds and the bees sit down. It's not that. It's-
I will say this, in fairness to what you said, this opened up the opportunity to speak to your son about this. And I think, not to sound preachy, but I think that's kind of what we're doing here, is we're talking about this because this is, even though we're having fun with it, I think this is obviously an issue that's happening. And I think, just like you spoke to your son about it and when you found out about it, I think this is something that we needed to talk about, because I think people can realize that you don't realize that it's happening. It's not like they're going to come home and be like, hey, I'm looking up stuff I shouldn't be looking up.
Right.
So I think it's nice that we're talking about that, because these are things, listen, like I said, four kids, it's like, but first kid, but I didn't know, like, you don't know what you're doing when you become a parent. So I think it's like, you have to lean on others and you have to talk to friends and realize these things happen, because nowadays they got phones in their pockets and they're taking them out and they can look up anything. So I think we need to have these discussions so that, you know, it can be addressed like that, because we're just as blind to stuff like that.
And, well, and good on you for not shaming him either. Like, that, what, he wasn't in trouble. I mean, it might have been, he might have been duped into it by buddies, but I mean, you don't know the situation, or maybe you do, but like, good on you for handling it in a calm, composed way about, let's discuss this, this natural evolution in you as a human, as a young boy,
yep.
And not coming down on him with a hammer and punishing him for doing something like that. I think it shows an immense amount of composure on your part.
Thanks, Brooks. And, you know, the one thing I think you touched on before about having actually the conversation with your parents about the birds and the bees, it's like, so one story I want to share was, my dad in fifth grade taught the sex ed class. He was a local doctor where we grew up. So what was I doing? I was sitting in the back,
the plot
on the very
thickens.
Back row.
So this issue is hereditary.
With a baseball glove over my face. You know, I mean, it was, for me, it was a very embarrassing moment.
Yeah.
You know, especially people start asking questions and whatnot. Yeah. And so to me, you know, I don't recall ever really having that conversation with my dad. But and that's why something I actually want, you know, having seen that, you know, and then having a more open dialogue with my son.
Yeah.
And or probably daughter at some point is like, hey, this is what's going on. And hopefully she's not watching that stuff.
Yeah. Good for you, man. That's
Thanks.
Awesome. Okay. We got to go to break. I'm Brooks Like, and I got my man,
Gavin DeGraw.
Yeah, buddy.
What's up, Brooks?
We'll get good at that.
We'll get better and better.
We'll get real good at that.
We're practicing the handoff.
Yeah. And this is How Men Think. So we're diving into a bunch of topics for men, for women. This is all about how men think. And Ryan has something he wants to talk about here.
I do have something that happened to me very recently, which is relatively sensitive, but my wife and I had to go through IVF.
Which is?
In vitro fertilization.
Okay.
Which, for Gavin wishes.
Can you explain, for anybody listening that doesn't know what that is, can you explain what that is?
Yeah, it's essentially that we were unable to get pregnant naturally, so they take my sperm, fertilize her egg, and then the eggs grow, and you see how many embryos you ultimately have after 5 days, and hopefully you have a lot, and then one gets implanted, or two, or however many, and hopefully you have a pregnancy. But we've gone through two rounds of IVF. We have a son now through the first round of IVF, and we just went through a second round. But one of the parts of the process of IVF is that they need to analyze my sperm. So you go into a fertility clinic, and they bring you into a room that they ask you to produce your sample. So the biggest stress for me is I'm brought into a small room that just so happens conveniently for them to be 5 feet from the nurse's station and the reception area. So I am escorted by the nurse into this room. And again, there's a lobby of 10 people sitting there, and they tell you, we have material for you on this television. You just hit the power button. It'll be preloaded. It's going to be rolling for you. Here's the cup. Do your thing into the cup and then come out when you're ready, and we'll you'll be good to go. So they turn on the TV for me, and she walks out of the room. And in the first case, it was a black and white porn that was from the 70s.
Oh, old school.
Whoa.
With,
you have interesting taste.
With a guy endowed endowed such in a way that I could not really imagine that was me in his position. So
it was so small.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
The TV.
You're too nice, Brooks.
The TV.
Yeah.
Was that the nurse's way of letting you know what she's after?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you're in this environment, and in my head I'm saying, okay, what is the respectable amount of time right now that I have to produce? If I come out in 45 seconds and I say, here you go, they're going to look at me like, this guy is freaky. Like, he just did it in 45 seconds. But if I come out 20 minutes later, glistening with sweat and like fatigued, it's like,
put
dude,
in a shift.
Yeah.
Relax.
You're like, I'm going to be back in about 1 o'clock too, if that's okay.
Exactly. Exactly.
So what did you do?
So I'll fast forward to the next time I was in, and this is now the most pressure packed moment of my life, genuinely, which is my wife is under full general anesthesia. We're going in for the procedure, and I'm escorted into the room. And now my in-laws, because she's been put under, are in the lobby with me. And again, it's 7 feet away, and they say, Ryan, you're up. And they escort me to the room, and my in-laws watch me walk into
this
door. They're
like, should we come in, or are you good on your own? You're like, I'm fine.
Exactly. So I, again, am like, okay, how long am I going to take here? But my wife is fully under, and if I don't produce...
You got to get going.
Yeah, if I don't produce, then, like, this is going to be an absolute nightmare.
Did your father-in-law slap you on the ass and say, go get him, Tiger. Go bring us a grandkid.
So this was a separate fertility clinic, and this one was a little bit more high-tech, and they popped on the screen, and the screen had 16 categories on it that I could choose from, and it was 90s, babysitters, anime, big butt, Asian... Anime, sorry.
Oh, I know her.
Oh, Amy. No, it's not a name.
Adult humor. And then the one I ended up choosing was...
Adult humor.
What? I chose award winning.
Award winning.
I was curious. What's winning awards in this space?
You can't turn down Blue Ribbon.
You gotta know now.
But again, it was like the most pressure-packed situation I've probably ever been into in my life, was going to that room with my in-laws 7 feet away. And how much noise can I make? They put you on a chair with this parchment paper, so you move, and it's like the most sterile overhead lighting. So I turn the light off, and I turn my iPhone flashlight on to give some mood lighting for myself, and I'm moving around. The parchment paper is crinkling. My in-laws are listening. The nurse is... watching the clock, and it's a nightmare.
All you hear from the lobby is your in-laws going, that's our son-in-law in there.
Listen to him. I came out with a cup, gave it to the nurse, and shook my father-in-law's hand, and that was that.
Did you wash your hand first?
No.
So, by the way, what Ryan just told you is exactly true, because my wife and I have also done IVF. So my wife has endometriosis, which she's openly talked about. She's a big advocate for that. I think 1 in 10 females have endometriosis. And so we, before her birthday last year, we did IVF as well. And I've been in that room. We haven't done the...
Same room as me?
Maybe. I don't know. I don't remember the black and white of porn. But it is exactly how he describes, and it is an awkward
feeling.
So
his father-in-law is waiting outside your room, too, and said, great job?
Yeah.
Okay, but so did
They're
you...
They're very giving people.
Did you have the same thing in your head where you're saying, what is the respectable amount of minutes that I can spend in this room that the nurses don't think, like, I'm a freak, but that...
I honestly just think I went and knocked it out. Like, I don't think I thought too much about it. It is what it is. Grab the cup and put it on the counter. But it is incredible, though, what they can do. Like, you have now two children, the second on the way from that procedure. Yeah. So for anybody out there that is considering it, it's a lot. I will say that. It's, as you know, as husband, you're just in full support mode of your wife.
Yeah, my wife went through a ton and was doing injections for months into her stomach every night with a syringe, and it was brutal. Yeah. And I give her a ton of credit for it. But
I will say, I know a lot of people that have done that, and it, from everything I've heard, it's very difficult, very taxing. I have been very fortunate and blessed in that all, you know, my kids were just conceived. I mean, if you saw like Vegas Vacation, you know, and they said, Rusty, how'd you get all these cars? He goes, I don't know. I put a dollar on, I got a car. I put a dollar on, I got a car. Yeah. But that's what it was like when I was with kids, except not with dollar. And, you know, and instead of a car, we got kids. But so we're very lucky, but I know that it's very taxing. I think that's probably the pressure that was weighing on you, besides just being next to the nurse's station and what to choose. And it's like,
And by the way, hearing the fact that you have and Julianne have gone through it too is interesting and helpful, because I think so many of my friends have gone through this exact thing, and it's become, people are scared to admit it. They don't really talk about it. So the more that people are aware that it's a very common thing now with IUI or IVF, I think like it makes us all feel like, yeah, we're not abnormal for having gone through it.
Yeah, there's
Why do you think that is? Like, why do you think it's that is sort of suppressed per se?
I think it's like it's it? it's such a private it's between you and your wife, or your partner. It's very emotional. I mean, you're trying to bring a life into this world. I mean, as a husband, you're just in full support mode. It was very difficult on my wife as well. But looking at the reality of our lives, my wife is a very driven businesswoman, has her career. She just turned 30 last year. And so we wanted to, she has endometriosis, which could complicate pregnancy. Doesn't mean it will, but it could. And so the smarter thing for us to do is to, let's freeze some of her eggs. And if we need this as a backup plan in 2 years or a year from now, whenever we want to start having kids and maybe we can't, we have a backup plan. I agree with you. It has been hush hush, but it shouldn't be.
And I feel like there's almost kind of the stigma of, you know, it's like, that's not successful, or you couldn't get the job done, or that kind of a, you know, a baloney way of looking at it. And I feel like that's kind of the society's putting us that pressure on, like, oh, you guys couldn't, you got to do it. You have to take an alternative way, which whether there's something, a complication or whatnot, like, I think that's wrong.
I think that inherent in being a man, it's the ability to procreate. That's like, that's kind of in our DNA and in every fiber of our being. And so if you're told that your sperm are not able to, or, you know, need help in procreating, then it's almost emasculating in a way. So it's tough, I think, at times for a guy to admit that that's something that you're dealing with. And I'll end with this, which is we've dealt with, and there was someone that came up to us recently and asked my wife, have you gone through, or can I ask, like, did you go through IVF? And she said, well, it's a relatively intrusive question to ask without you offering it up yourself. But she said, well, if you must know, like, yeah, actually I did. And the woman said, oh, okay, because, you know, we already have two kids, you know, and we got pregnant naturally. Like, we can get pregnant naturally super easily, but we have two boys and we really want to have a girl. So we may go through IVF to have a girl. And it was like, really? It was a demoralizing and kind
of insensitive.
Like, I couldn't believe that she said that. And then my wife said, well, you know, if you need a good fertility doctor, you know, I'll give you our fertility doctor's name. And she said, oh, no, thanks, hon. But we're already working with Dr. James Andrews. He's the leading fertility doctor in all of North America. So we're okay with ours. Like, thanks, though. And it was like, okay.
It's nice to know that LA attitude also carries over to fertility doctors. Exactly. Instead of just agents
sickening.
And stuff.
Yeah. Wow.
But yeah, interesting. But for anybody out there that is considering it, I think it's a great option if you want to have a plan down the road. When I was in the office, there was even young ladies who didn't have partners or whatever, but were in a very healthy segment area of their life that wanted to save eggs for later on. Yeah. And even our doctor, who was amazing for us, she said she wished she would have done it when she was younger as well. So, yeah, it's an amazing procedure. So on How Men Think, we're also going to dive into some products on the show. We're going to test some stuff for you guys. And Amy and Danielle sent us all an email asking us what we use for hygiene and specifically what we use to shampoo. And I think they were stunned with the results.
And also how often you wash your hair.
And how often we wash our hair. And I really had to think about this one.
That's pretty deep.
The last time I washed my hair was 2001 because that was right about when it fell out.
Wait, did that happen fast? Like, did it just start coming? Or did you have like the like ring around?
No,
there?
I didn't have a ring. I actually started with like a little spot up here, and then it kind of thinned out. And I was like, oh, I was going to be fine. And I was wearing hats and stuff. And then one, it just kind of rapidly went. And I fought the shave of the head for a while. And then finally, I was like, okay, this isn't helping anybody.
But at least you got like the nice full beard.
You know why? I didn't for a little while. I didn't have a beard, and then I realized. I looked in the mirror one day, and I was like, I look like a Q-tip. And I was like, but a Q-tip with like a fatter body, you know? And so I started growing a beard, and I was like, "Oh, this helps balance
that's,
it out."
You look good.
It is a good
balance.
Yeah, no, yeah. I agree.
Well, you look amazing. Thank you.
When your beard grew in, did it grow in nice and even, or did you have like bald spots like I got on my face? You see these spots right here that just won't grow in? You see these?
I have the same thing.
That's unfortunate.
You see this?
Yeah.
It's like inbreeding, or
it's very close to that.
I don't know.
So in front of
inbreeding,
in front of
about sums it up.
In front of each one of us right now, we're holding a new bar created by HeyBode.com.
It's
HeyBode.com. So Amy, what is this? It's a bar that's body wash.
So what shocked me when I asked for your information about how often you shampooed, the answer was once a week, once every other week. Ryan said once a week until his wife made him do it twice because she thought it was disgusting that he only did it once. So we have a bar for you guys to try. This is all in one.
Smells good.
Yeah, hold that up, Rick.
Does it?
Shampoo, okay. Face wash, body wash, all in one in a bar. Because I thought all y'all travel a lot. So can't you get this through
so
airport
nice.
Security easier too?
I think they should rename it Hey Body just because
I might be messing it up.
Kind of, I don't know.
I thought that was a clever name and then I realized I don't know.
But
who
maybe
Bode
it
is.
Maybe it's B-O-D-E. Hey. It's Hey
B-O-D-E. We need
B-O-D-E.
To talk to so the this, marketing department.
I've never used a bar
neither
shampoo
have I.
My
neither
hair.
Have I.
So how I do it, I just use whatever my wife has in the shower. And whenever I think to shampoo my hair, I would say it's probably, I think I responded once a week, I'd probably shampoo my hair.
And off of what you just said, as crazy as this is, like I said, I lost my hair. For some reason, whether it's habit, I still use shampoo on my head, a face soap, and then regular like body soap on my. It makes zero sense.
Shampoo
like,
on your head I probably just, won't like, dry it.
Why?
A bad soap would dry it. Out,
I don't
right?
know. Maybe, but
just
I don't, actually,
relive
I don't
the
think,
old days.
I'm going to try this though because if I can use one bar for the whole thing,
why don't
I mean,
do it right now.
Yeah,
I don't know, right here.
I don't know. We can take the mics in the shower.
Give a little. Let's just
sparkling water.
Your head a little. Give a little rinse right at the table.
This is taking a turn. I'm not saying no. I'm just saying it's taking a turn.
Do you condition?
No, I don't. Deep condition.
Draw the line there.
Do you? How about your beard? Do you wash your beard with shampoo?
No, I use my face soap.
So you guys, counterintuitive. All have your own products that you use, like shower routine. I have one thing. The only one thing that I have, like that's my own product in our shower, is Kiehl's men's body wash.
How's it smell?
Fantastic. And it's like powerful. It's strong. Like when you, honestly, you put this on, you feel like, yeah, this is a man's product. You feel
smell
fantastic.
How about deodorant? Are you like a natural, like a deodorant or an antiperspirant person?
I don't do either.
You do no deodorant whatsoever?
I'll put deodorant on probably like once every 3 months.
No way.
Yeah.
If you're going
what's
to
that?
A wedding.
Because you think it's bad for you? Like what night is that special occasion?
I have no idea. That's a great question. Like randomly.
He hasn't
is that
worn
like
this
when
you
while.
Know you're going to be riding the subway in New York? You're like, I'll wear the deodorant today. Yeah,
I think it's just random, dude. All of a sudden I see it. I'm like, oh, I got deodorant. I'll throw that on.
How does a professional athlete sweat that much and not use deodorant at all?
I don't, because honestly, it keeps your. So I think that sweating flushes your system. So people that sweat all the time, like you are always. I eat healthy. I exercise all day long. My system flushes itself daily, and I think that way you have less body odor. I think people that have bad body odor are very inactive and eat unhealthy.
That's what they say about antiperspirant and sunscreen and whatnot. But they say it clogs your pores. So to your thing, Gavin, I don't use. antiperspirant anymore because I feel like it's just rubbing on like cake batter, but deodorant. But not on. That's why I don't wear it because if I put on cake
edible
batter,
deodorant.
You think it's
so
delicious.
Good.
Hey, edible deodorant.
But I actually will.
You think it's keeping it in. It's just.
I do. I feel like it's just a caked on. You see what it does to t-shirts.
A month ago, I tried. I had read everything about how there's aluminum in mainstream deodorant, so I went. So Whole Foods got one of those non-aluminum deodorants, tried it, and it doesn't work.
So it doesn't work how?
I still sweat when I wear that as compared to using a mainstream deodorant that actually is effective.
Maybe that's why I don't wear deodorant because I'm going to sweat regardless. Like I run hot. So and also during the course of a day, I'm training multiple, like 4 or 5 hours in the course of a day. What's the point of having deodorant on?
I'm just going to take that shirt off, put a dry one on, take that one
off. Yeah, maybe you're just not wearing a shirt long enough for it to get stinky. Perhaps you smell like a bear, but you don't wear a shirt long enough for it to take effect.
It explains why the studio smells like onions right now. Yeah.
Or maybe you shower twice a day. You know, you shower in the morning, you go work out for 4 hours, you shower in the afternoon. You don't need to
You just have to own a laundromat so you can wash all those shirts off.
Yeah.
Well, what about you on stage, Gavin?
Oh, disgusting.
Do you sweat up there, right?
Oh, it's gross.
Do you put anything on it? You just say, whatever, I'm going to sweat anyway.
It depends. It depends if I showered right before the show or not. If I shower right before the show, throw my stuff on, then I won't bother because I won't be wearing the shirt longer than, you know, a couple hours, so yeah. I'm going to smell. You know what I mean? So it really depends. If I just hopped off the plane, I'm on my way to the show, and I'm not going to make it in time. You know what I mean? It's, you know, it's cologne time. It's, you know.
Yeah, mask it.
Yeah, I smell like a up there.
So well, the know, other thing so. I think I feel like a lot of the products that have come out for men are more tailored towards with a scent on it, you know, like now it's aftershave or beard grooming oils and all this type of stuff and that's kind of come more mainstream instead of deodorant. Back in the day it was deodorant and that's it, maybe aftershave you slap on your face, but now it's okay, it's beard oil or it's aftershave lotion. That's
there's a lot of products happening.
There's a lot of things out there that are hair goop or whatever you want to call it. And so you don't need it because you already smell good. Technically.
Here's a question for you guys and also for our listeners, for our guys listening. Over or under, would you have like 4 or 5 products, like hair or shampoo or body lotion? Or like I have something to put in my hair. I have Kiehl's body lotion. I have cologne. And toothpaste. That's about the extent of what I'm running.
Under.
Wait a second. If does toothpaste anybody count? Because everybody has toothpaste.
Okay, so let's count that out. So let's say over or under, do you have 5 products for personal hygiene? And it's not right or wrong. There's no right or wrong way. And for our listeners, email us at man@iheartradio.com. Let us know if you have lots, if you have 15. There's somebody in my life that I don't want to name. He's probably got 87. And he can't live without all of them.
Well, I have another question. Can I add to this?
Yeah, hit me.
Is this the products you have at home or the products you travel with?
They're the same.
Are they the same products?
Yeah.
But in smaller bottles?
Yeah. So I have a cologne. I have a cologne, a big bottle at home, and a small travel bottle.
Same scent. That's
yes,
your
exact
thing.
Exact same thing. Yeah, my wife buys it for me.
See,
exact
same thing. I'm a firm believer that your body gets used to things. So like deodorant, cologne, toothpaste. I'll have a couple options because I think after you use something for a long time, your body adapts to it and you got to switch it up.
He has a theory for everything.
Yeah.
<I know.
laughs> Yeah. I have a
in
theory
fact,
for why
get
you
him a new microphone.
That
one doesn't
work out.
Can you
trade out that mic? Working? He's changed his t-shirt 3 times, put on 2 different watches. He's got, this is a different drink.
He's still
from the first half of the show.
How about
this
Gavin?
Is
the guy's
drink.
Like, do you use 4-ounce bottles? Because that's what TSA accepts. Like,
absolutely.
What are you so worried about travel size?
Absolutely.
So, okay, what do you got? Over, under 5? Personal hygiene products at this table.
Under.
Under?
Well, tell Gavin, what products do you have?
A regimen?
Yeah.
Changes.
So you get out of the shower. What
not
never
for
heard
your reasons.
Of
it.
Oh, so what
not
I forget.
For his reasons. Not, you know, the
don't call me crazy.
Conspiracy theorist over here. But, you know.
You get out of the shower. What happens?
Don't tell us what happens in the shower.
I air dry.
Okay.
I'm kidding. What do? I mean, I have a few products. I use what do you call that powder that's really like,
baby powder?
Gold Bond?
No, not that stuff. They say that's really bad for you, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, even if it's a hot day, don't sprinkle. So, you know, they have
I wish you guys could have seen the motion he said when he said don't sprinkle. He actually sprinkled. He air mimed sprinkling.
I did a little bit.
Yeah, you did.
So, you know, what's that stuff called? It's got the, like, the little exfoliating stuff, right? I use that on my face
a
couple times a week.
After the shower.
It's in the shower.
In the shower.
Yeah. In.
In the shower. I always wash my face last.
Maybe that's why you can't go
facial
hair.
Because then my pores will be most open.
Is that why you can't
go? I agree. You wash the face last.
Got to wash your face last.
Because you don't
opinion.
Want the shampoo. If the shampoo gets on the face, then it's contaminating. You always wash
that's
the face.
Right.
I feel like, don't you use I feel like Ryan would be the most educated one in this topic.
Oh, 100%. He probably would be.
That
you look like you'd have your doctorate in this particular subject.
He's a poster boy for beauty products.
Hold it. Yeah or no?
Ryan, why don't you explain to the guys that when I asked you about your hair, that you said after you wash it,
I sent you the lines from American Psycho, Patrick Bateman.
Flat and fluffy?
You don't have to give away the credit. Yeah. You should take the credit.
I said to Ryan, how often do you wash your hair? And he said, I only like to once a week because it gets flat and fluffy. Yeah, and no woman listening understands what the heck you're talking about.
My hair more because my wife said that my pillowcase stunk and I had to wash my hair more. So.
Wash your sheets.
Yeah, we do. But like, so I've now upped it to like every other day recently, and we're working it out.
I don't know.
The goal is to have your hair like beach hair. That's what I want. Beach hair. You come out of the ocean.
Right now,
I tried a Mai Tai.
Do you live near the ocean?
Salt spray that Dry Bar makes. Tried that. That gives a little bit of a texture to it.
It looks good right now.
Thank you.
Nice waves.
What you need to do is you need to put one of these HeyBodhi.com bars behind your pillow. And you don't have to wash your
hair. So are you going to try this bar in your hair? Or you got your thing dialed in where you're like, I'm liking my hair, I'm rolling
this. I'm willing to give it a shot. I have a routine when I get out of the shower, though, that is a very standard routine. And
it involves
the face lotion, it involves the hair product, which is a paste. It involves some under eye cream because I got dark circles under my eyes like a raccoon. I got to get that going. Then we do a cocoa butter on the body.
Oh,
cocoa butter is where it's at. If you have not tried it, seriously.
I have not.
I'm on it.
Ryan wakes up at 4 a.m.
Totally.
To get to work
by
9.
The cocoa butter. Boy, oh boy. So let me ask you a question. This is a weird question. Ears. Oh. What do you wash your ears with? A body soap, a face soap, or the shampoo?
I don't think I wash my ears at all.
Are they all not the same?
I don't know. I mean, they have.
Is this just because I was in locker rooms my whole life where they just put something in the middle of the shower and you just into your hand and you use it for everything?
Well, let me ask you this: playing a professional sport. So in college, my teammate dropped the soap in the shower.
He got behind him.
Rallied.
Sometimes
he was a rower.
We had this ultimate philosophical debate. If he dropped the soap in the shower, he said the soap is filthy and he would throw it out. And I said, soap is the epitome of clean. You wash the top layer off and you can use it again. What do you think?
You lost me. Like, that is more than I would just pick it up and use it. Who
can
cares?
You tell me what epitome means?
We got our producer Danielle here who's going to ask a question and the gentlemen are going to do their finest to answer it.
So it's not really a question, but more of a struggle I have with you guys. So I'm married. I've been married for all of 6 months. However, one thing I have found to be a common thread in all relationships I've ever had is that guys automatically resort to girls being crazy. That's what they say. And the word crazy makes girls crazy. Makes you
so there is an underlying crazy already that we've tapped into.
Correct.
The point.
And it's like, why can't guys just stop saying the word crazy?
Wow.
Mm.
Who wants to touch that one?
I think it's because, you, as we know, women act differently than men. So to us, that's not the natural instinct to act like that. So to us, that's crazy. So I think when we say stop acting crazy, it's like we don't understand it. And I think when you don't understand something, the easiest thing to do is to kind of push it away or make it seem like something that's not normal. Because if we said that seems like a normal thing that you're doing, Danielle, I understand that you're acting very normal, then that's calling myself crazy and I'm not going to do that. So I think
can I expound on that a little bit?
Please.
I think also there's this other element where we say crazy because I think guys approach things from what we view as a logical standpoint.
Boom.
And we're trying to bring logic to sometimes an illogical perspective, in our opinion. And so sort of like sometimes we feel like you're just looking to have an altercation because there's some things that we can't even fix or that we have nothing to do with. There'd just be something random and we try to address it and then you sort of turn it into it's our fault that something else is happening and then we're just sort of like, all right, you're just crazy. I gotta go for a walk, you know?
Here's a question for you, Danielle. Is the word crazy a bit like a trigger? Just because of
1,000,000%.
What if it was just like wild? You're acting
so
wild.
So here's
right
the thing.
Would
like
that
if you were
the
if,
same?
If a guy were to come to you and say, you know, I don't necessarily agree. Like I see it a little bit differently. Great. I'm so open to having that conversation. But when you say, you're being crazy, then actually
because
you
it's
go
dismissive.
Crazy.
What
totally.
If we say you're being illogical?
I don't like that either.
I actually cringed when you said that. I was like, she's not going to like this.
What if I bust out a calculator and I say, this is what you said, this is what I said, this is the equation, and you're way off base, it should turn into this? You'd be totally offended.
No, not necessarily. It's just the certain words that, I guess, like you said, Dimitri, if you're being dismissive. I just wish guys understood that women don't like...
do you ever feel, first of all, the question in and of itself, I would say, is crazy? But do you ever feel as if you are trying to pick a fight on purpose or...
No, I think the guy's trying to pick a fight by calling me crazy. That's the thing.
Well, I don't think it starts off with him just going, you're crazy. There was something that came that, you know, preceded that. And that's it, maybe where the crazy lies.
Let's go to Rick's, thing, Rick's Danielle, been married the longest here. Let's go to you.
Sorry. Yeah, I was curious. Like, what do you want to hear?
I just want to have a conversation instead of being dismissed. I think you hit the nail on the head with that.
I don't think you're being crazy. It's just this behavior, this act right now, maybe you are. Doesn't mean you are a crazy person, but it's also not a negative. It's just a...
Here's what it is.
Okay.
We're emotional.
Okay.
We have feelings. Mm-hmm. We show them. Mm-hmm. Most of the time, you all don't. You're
That's
just
true.
More pragmatic, and when you say what you mean, and we're like filled with emotion.
So I'm not the only guy who doesn't show emotion.
But there are, I think it's, back to your question, Danielle, I think there's trigger words for men too. There's words that I think of, I don't know if I can say these on air or not, but prick is probably not a word I would like to be called, or asshole. Like if I heard that from my significant other, I think that would upset me a little bit. So I think there are just words that for men and women that are trigger words.
Gavin just wrote those words down. I think he's planning on using them later.
I'm just going to, I wrote them on the paper. I'm just going to show them to him once in a while. Slide him over on the table.
No, I was going to say you're 1,000% right. Because just with, my husband, he's exactly like you. He does not like any of those words. Mm-hmm. And if I were to ever say anything like that to him, he would have an issue with it. And he would have a big problem with it. And I guess, guys have their own word, their own trigger words, and girls have their own as well. And I think I could speak on behalf of a lot of women that crazy is one of those words. Yeah.
I will say this. If I go home and start talking to my wife and I say, I think you're being illogical. Or I think you're just not understanding this. She will look at me and say, you're crazy.
Yeah.
Because if I try and talk to her, if I try and talk to her like a therapist, she's like, whoa, get out of here. You're the nuts one. So
way too much emotion.
So I think maybe we should probably take a break on that one before it gets even more heated.
Yeah.
Danielle's looking at us like she's as mad at us as she is at her husband. So it's
Gavin's crying already.
I am. Such tears.
Let's take a break.
This is How Men Think, and we've covered a bunch of different topics today. Some funny, some serious, and we're going to dive into something really serious. Ready? There's a little cliffhanger for you guys. I don't think anybody knows this question, but I want to ask you it. And the reason I haven't told anyone this question is because I want an authentic answer from you. Gavin, we'll start with you. Here we go. I'm putting you on the
thanks.
Hot seat, buddy. You
thanks,
can handle
Brooks.
It.
Okay.
Okay, here we go. What is one thing you are immensely excited about in your life? And what is one thing you are desperate to change?
Good God.
The real. We're getting in heavy now.
I
something
think this
you're,
guy's way more capable of answering that than me.
So I put
don't
you in the hot
stall.
Seat.
Okay, well, what am I excited about? I'm writing a record, so I'm excited about putting out a new record, and so that's exciting to me.
Going on tour this summer, right?
Yeah, I'll go on tour and do what I do. I get an opportunity to basically do a hobby for a living, so I'm lucky in that regard. And your other question was, what do I want to change?
What's something you're desperate to change in your
desperate
life?
Desperate to change. Good Lord. Man, I don't know, man. There's a lot. There's a lot of little things,
What's the first one that comes to mind?
I need to find a dog sitter.
Ooh.
Cop out.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Thanks for peeling back the curtain.
I don't want to peel back all these layers right now.
I feel like I'm really getting another real Gavin.
What do I want to change?
You don't even have a dog.
No, it's pretty. They don't need to know that.
It sounded profound.
I want to continue seeing more and not just driving past things, you know. So being that I do so much touring, I feel like I miss a lot along the way. And so, I mean, I was telling some people I knew, I said, you know, I had driven by the Grand Canyon at least 100 times and never seen it.
Man.
You know? And so this past year I bought an RV and I drove out there with my best buddy, and we're like, yeah, man, we got to camp out here. He's like, never been to the Grand Canyon? I said, no. He said, well, let's go, you know? And then I did a little bit of road tripping, you know, in the RV, and I've done two trips so far, but I want to do a lot more of that, just because I feel like we really get one go around here, and I don't want to be the old man thinking I wish I would have done more, seen more, taken more risks. You know, a lot of people, they say, oh, you want to have a long life and all this and that. I want to have a long life. I want to have a fulfilling life more than I want to have a long life. You know, I don't want to be the last man standing, all my friends. I want to have a great time. Wow. So it's just how I enjoy it.
Good for you, man. That is powerful.
Yeah. I give you
thanks, fellas.
Give you a round of applause for that. That's awesome, dude. I know what you're talking about, because having traveled around for hockey,
yeah,
you get there, you punch in, you play the game, and you're out. And I'm like,
and you don't get to see it. Right?
Yeah, been to New York 30 times, haven't done anything in That's this. Right. Yeah, so I get what you're saying.
Yeah, man.
Good for you for recognizing that and then putting it in motion in your life to change it.
Thanks, bro.
Dimitri, you're up, brother. What is one thing you're immensely excited about in your life, and what's one thing you are desperate to change?
Hands down, I think the one thing I'm excited about is my kids. I come home, it doesn't matter what kind of day I had. I walk in the door, and the four of them come running, screaming, Daddy, and they give me a big hug. And I try and record it on my phone sometimes, just because it's a pretty amazing thing. Hmm. But I end up tossing my phone aside, because then I can really, you know, it sounds maybe silly, but then I can get my arms around all four of them.
Yeah.
It is pretty amazing. And like, sometimes they look up to me for things. Sometimes my son, who's six, he'll look at me and he'll just kind of wink and give me a thumbs up out of nowhere. And it's like, it makes me feel like I'm doing something right, because they're looking to me for, you know, whatever it is, you know, they know that I'm there. And, the other night I was sleeping, and one of them came in. And, you know, I don't get a lot of sleep, mm-hmm. but it was like one of them came in and woke me up. So the first instinct you think is to be like, why are you waking me up? Whatever you got to do, just do it. One of them came in and kind of whispers, Dad, Dad. And I was like, yeah. And they said, I love you. And I was like,
Come on,
man.
Great.
So I was like, get back to bed. I'm trying to sleep. No. How dare you wake me up? Tell me in the morning, for crying out loud. So that's definitely something that keeps me going every day.
Good for you, man. That's awesome. That's great.
So what was the other thing? What am I?
What's something you're desperate to change? Not just like something's nagging you. Something you're like, I need to take action on this.
Something I need to take action on is I've been living in Los Angeles for a long time, and I've been working, and I feel there it comes to a point sometimes, and I feel like maybe a lot of people have this thought, but is this what I like? You know, you make money, but it costs a lot of money, and it's like sometimes I get that feeling where it's like I kind of like to be in a small town. I like to maybe not worry so much about making money to keep up. And it's not like I'm keeping up, like I want to have these fancy parties and stuff. I don't do any of that. But you got to, especially having that many kids, you got to make a lot of money to survive in that town. And part of me thinks like, maybe I should just find a slower paced life. And it's kind of what Gavin said. It's like, I want to make sure I'm not just running through life. I want to make sure I'm seeing things and I'm enjoying things.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of the times you get caught up like, oh, I got to make this money. I got to pay this. I got to do this. And it's like, sometimes I think about whether I should just kind of slow it down a little bit.
Gotcha. Or, dudes, we knock it out of this park. This podcast becomes the best one on iHeartRadio. We make a ton of money.
That's great. True.
Hey,
yeah.
And we help our boy out.
When do we get our checks?
Yeah.
When do we get our checks?
And you get deodorant.
Yeah.
And I'll get some deodorant out of that.
This Hey Bodie is fantastic, yeah. By the way.
Oh, smells so good.
Currently doesn't have any representation in the personal hygiene. He's available right. He is available.
Hey, Dimitri, I think we could, you know, find a
middle ground. But I appreciate you sharing, buddy. Thank you for that. Rick, my man, what is one thing that you are immensely excited about in your life, and what's one thing you are desperate to change?
You know, I'd probably have to echo the same sentiment as Dimitri, you know, and go into the kid realm of things. You know, my kids are both getting a little bit older, as we discussed on the show about, you know, getting into their teenage years. And for me right now, the most important part is guiding them through those important parts of these ages of life, you know, and making sure they're going to make the right decisions when they get older. Can we control that? No. But to me, it's kind of coaching them and being, you know, before when they're little and they're Ryan's age kids, you know, it's more kind of, you know, hands on and you're changing diapers and you're doing whatever. And now it's become serious things, right? You know, making the right decision, whether you're going to go do something in a city or decide to take drugs or drink alcohol or whatever. And these are real life things that are coming in play with my son, or all of our kids as they get a little bit older. And so I want to make sure that I'm guiding them down the right path. And that's what's important to me. What would I change? Or what was the second question? I'm sorry.
What's one thing you are desperate to change?
Probably want to change my record that I'm starting with Gavin.
I mean, Gavin wants to change that
too. Songs, or lack thereof.
My songs, all the ones that I wrote, had a line right through it. But, and I was asking him what was going on with that, but he didn't have a good answer. What would I change? You know, again, kind of echoing the same sentiments, and I feel like it's kind of maybe our age. You know, Dimitri and I, when we started talking about this podcast and, you know, started, you know, collaborating about everything, we really had kind of a bond, and we were talking about our kids and our age and what we want to do and whatnot. And I think kind of trying to figure out a way to slow things down. You know, it is the grind every day, whether it's at work or travel or whatever. And I love traveling, and I do a lot for work, and I do get times where I can slow down a bit, but it's taking your kids fishing, going on a trip, you know, enjoying a baseball tournament in New York City or whatever that is. And that's what I want to try to, you know, appreciate.
Good for you, man. Yeah, thanks. Good for you. Ryan, what's one thing you're immensely excited about, and what is one thing you are desperate to change?
I am really excited about my upcoming record and my tour as well.
We all are.
Just shameless self plugs all around.
Did you guys all start a band and not tell me?
Where do I buy t-shirts from your merch stand?
I have a second kid on the way, and truthfully, you know, my dad was killed when I was younger. I grew up without a father, so having a boy right now and having a second boy along the way is something that I was 5 and a half when my dad was killed. And so it was kind of a void in my life for a lot of my childhood. And so now to be able to be a father to him and to do all the things, and even when you posed the question earlier about, you know, the birds and the bees talk, and you went around asking, it was awkward for me because I was hoping you didn't come to me, because I never had the opportunity to even have that conversation. So it's just every moment that I went through in my own childhood, I now genuinely cherish those moments that I can have with my son, and really look forward to doing the things that I never got to do with my father. So I think that's something that's really genuinely exciting for me.
Good for you, man. That's powerful.
Yeah.
So in terms of something I would change, I think, you know, it's a lot of people echoed it already, but it's really probably being more present. And when I do come home from work, it's I'm with my wife and I'm with my son. I'm not on my phone, and trying to be more present generally in life too. It's like with social media, it's not doing things for the photo to put on Instagram. It's like living life, being more present, and just enjoying the moments, as opposed to feeling like you have to keep up with the Joneses, to Dimitri's point, and this rat race that we all feel like we're living an Instagram life and everyone has to one up the next person and be more present.
Yeah. Wow. Amazing.
Very heavy.
Gavin's crying again.
I know. Guys. All right. Now it's my turn to ask Mr. Brooks here. What's the one thing that you're excited about? I mean, you've done all this inquisition.
Yeah. I am immensely excited about opportunity in my life right now. So coming out of professional sports, played 15 years professional hockey, and it's what I realized when I got out of it was how suppressive it is on other areas of your life. You are so micro-focused on winning a Stanley Cup. Your whole life revolves around that. How you eat, sleep, train, your relationship, everything revolves around you winning. And that suppresses a lot of other things in your life. Other things you want to do, other projects of service, being able to travel, the world, these kinds of things, time with family. And I'm excited about the opportunity that I now have to dedicate time, energy, resources to those things. One of them being this podcast. I'm excited for how we're going to serve and help and impact men and women across the world. I'm super excited about this. Have high level conversations, get to know you guys some more, have some laughter for sure. And then the other thing I'm really excited about is I have a fitness app, a workout app called Open Gym, where I'm sharing all of my knowledge that I've accumulated through professional hockey and athletics, and have a training program that I'm sharing with everybody that is into athletics, into fitness. My mom does it. It's for professional athletes or for general fitness. My mom does some of it, and I have some other friends that are professional CrossFitters or professional athletes that do it as well. So becoming an entrepreneur, building that, being
we,
in this
we
podcast.
We had the dog fetching element of the workout routine
from
in there.
The deadlift. That's a little add-on. If anybody
he had it on his Instagram. He was doing he said, I'm playing I'm working out with the dog today, and he was playing fetch with the dog while he was doing, like, what do you call those, deadlifts?
Deadlifts.
Like,
yeah, that. You know what those are. You do those all the time.
All the time. I love those. Those are for my whole body strength and my lifestyle, for my
That figure. Yeah, there you go. But that's what I'm excited. I'm excited about opportunity and freedom of opportunity. And then I'm also very blessed to be married to the most amazing woman in the world. So
great.
Living in LA is fantastic. Love that. Many things in my life to be excited about. The one thing that I'd be desperate to change, I would say, would be some bitterness and resentment towards my sport for being done sooner than I figured I would be. Some relationships in the sport of some things that happened to me, with me, with some people that made some decisions revolving or involving my career and
Who
my
do I need
life.
To kill, bro?
I'll sick you on them, buddy.
You might have to do a few deadlifts before you go taking anybody down.
I got this.
I'll sick you on them. But also along with that, 35 years of my life was dedicated to professional hockey to winning a Stanley Cup. And so when I got the phone call that said you've been released and your career is over, there's a tremendous loss of purpose. And you don't just go from doing the thing you love most in the world to now doing something that's okay.
Right.
So for the last year, it's been trying to find something that lights me on fire, that I'm like, let's go. I can't wait to do this. Let's go. And I'm finally starting to find that purpose with Open Gym. And then also with this podcast, I think is going to be a large part of that, because I really want to do something to serve and impact. And so changing, finding that new purpose in life. So I'm not the rest of my life. I don't want to be, I was a hockey player. I want to say I am a.
And you're not a can kicker.
Not a can kicker. You know. No. Yeah. So.
Well done.
Yeah. So that's it.
Great.
Well, maybe we can get you People's Choice Award. It's no Stanley Cup, but we'll go for that with
the
podcast.
I don't know what that is.
It just means people like you.
Okay.
For a for a podcast.
Okay. I think a Team Choice Award.
But people, but older people.
Isn't that guys? I mean, come on.
I have no idea. Amy, you'll have to educate me on what this kind of stuff is. But I appreciate you guys. That was our first podcast. Hey, How Men Think.
Well done, fellas. Well done.
We appreciate everyone listening, and if you have any insight, feedback, comments, questions for us, any of us, send them to men@iheartradio.com. We'll always answer some questions on the show. We're here as a vessel to serve you guys, so round of applause for you good sirs. We did it. We made it through
the
first one.
Absolutely. Well done.
Awesome.
Well done.
Hey guys, it's Brooks, and one last thing before you take off. We want to know your thoughts, feedback, insights, and questions for us on this show. Send us an email at men@iheartradio.com and follow along with us on Instagram @HowMenThinkPodcast, and we'll see you back right here next week for the next episode.